Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. And, you know, earlier in the show, I guess it was last hour, I wasn't quite so smart because I incorrectly congratulated Hawaii on its birthday, which I think is today. But I actually said that it was the 49th state, and it wasn't. It was the 50th state. And so I stand corrected, and so all of you who are listening in Hawaii, you can take down the effigies now. Quit burning me an effigy out there. I stand corrected, but it was in 1959 that Hawaii became the 50th state. I guess that makes Alaska the 49th state, doesn't it? And I remember when that happened. I was just a little kid in elementary school when that happened. And somebody else who I bet remembers that is our good friend and our guest this half hour, Judge William Huss, who's a former judge, Superior Court judge in Los Angeles Superior Court. He's now a moderator and an arbitrator and one of the outstanding legal minds of this nation, but also especially of our brain trust. And he and his wife are the author. He and his wife, Dr. Marlene Coleman, are the authors of Working with Your Homeowners Association. He's our good friend. Judge Huss, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. It's always a great honor for us to have you spend some time with us. We appreciate it very much. Judge, first I want you to comment on your thoughts. I've got several current events issues that I wanted to get you to mention. When you heard about the judge in Chicago, her husband, I can't remember her name, her husband and her mother were killed in her home. What were your thoughts about that?
Well,
this was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Right, and I think it's livid. And I think that my first reaction was one of shock, because it's so rare that a judge's family is involved in a murder, and it's just shocking, and it puts fear in the hearts of everyone who is connected with the judicial system that their relatives are put at risk like that.
Well, it's kind of an element of terrorism now, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's not new. It has happened in the past, particularly involving the mobs and the criminal syndicates.
Right.
That's their way of extorting some kind of revenge against the judiciary, and it's a tactic that is used quite often in high-level extortion. Banks, for example, have problems sometimes with the relatives of officers being held or killed, and so it's not unusual, but it is quite rare and shocking.
Well, and any time something happens that causes people to feel, causes a class of people or a group of people to feel unsafe, that's a form of terrorism.
Exactly. And I know in California we have a statute which gives judges special protection. The local law enforcement agency is called in to give special protection to judges who are threatened. And I know the Sheriff's Department here in Los Angeles issues concealed weapons permits to judges who ask for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did, and I got a permit.
Did you carry one?
Yes, I was threatened. And
did you carry? Is that right?
Yes, I did, but I don't now.
Did you carry one on the bench, at the bench?
No, I didn't, but it was in chambers.
Yeah.
And I felt that in the courtroom, I had a deputy in the criminal department who had a gun, and I felt safe.
Uh-huh.
I'm not so sure that I should have because of what happened in Atlanta.
Well, that's another issue that we're going to talk about in a second. But what do you, with regard to what happened in Chicago, and I wanted to talk about this this, and because I wanted to get your thoughts on the Chicago issue incident, but also to differentiate it from what happened in Atlanta, which are totally two different things altogether,
right.
Two different issues altogether, although both resulted in the deaths of innocent people. But what is it? There really isn't much that can be done about what happened in Chicago. I mean, if somebody wants to kill somebody that badly, there's, you know, other than just living inside of a cage or inside of a bulletproof wall, you really can't prevent that, can you?
No, you can't, and that's the reason I brought up the mob is because it appears from what I've read that those murders were done by professionals. And there's just no way you can avoid that, because they're like professional killers are just like terrorists. They pick the time and the place.
Right. Well, and the thing about it, though, is what's especially heinous about this, you know, killing the judge, who's the person who makes the decisions you may or may not like, is one thing. But killing the families, that's another level of inhumanity that I have a hard time understanding. 22. We're going to be right back with our good friend Judge William Huss right after these messages. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Judge William Huss is our guest, and he's a former judge with the Los Angeles County Superior Court. He was one of the judges in the group of judges that stood to hear the O.J. Simpson case, and it wound up in Judge Lance Ito's case. I often tell my friends, Judge, that I sure wish you'd gotten it, because I don't know whether the outcome would have been different, but I know you would have had control of your courtroom, for sure. And it was unfortunate that you didn't get that trial. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is I want to move to Atlanta now. I want to leave Chicago.
All right.
I want to leave Chicago and move to Atlanta. And
all right.
Because Chicago, what happened in Chicago and what happened in Atlanta are totally different issues.
Yes.
And as folks, as everybody knows now, four people were killed last week in Atlanta because a prisoner, someone in custody, overpowered a deputy, a female deputy, took her gun, and then killed three people, two in the judge and his court reporter, a deputy on the way out, and another person who just happened to be an immigration officer but was totally unconnected to his work. He was at home, and the guy just wanted his car. And so those people were killed. And Judge Huss, I have been upset about this ever since it happened. I don't know why. I mean, you know, we've all become so jaded about things, but these are four deaths that were 100% preventable, weren't they?
Well, I think so. I think a little more caution should have been taken in the transportation of this prisoner. But it raises an issue that's very difficult to achieve balance in, and that's, how do you give the accused, who is innocent until proven guilty, the benefit of the doubt in front of the jury's eyes by not bringing the prisoner or the accused into the courtroom in shackles? And that's one of the things that was an issue in this case. He was not in shackles because the jury doesn't... the jury sees the accused in the shackles, and the theory is that they're going to think that...
It taints their judgment, doesn't it?
That there's going to be a presumption of guilt because the defendant is in shackles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this prisoner was not in shackles. I think the problem was having just one deputy.
And a female.
Half his
size.
Well, that's right. But even if it were a male half his size.
Well, I agree completely. I completely agree. Well, and folks, one of the things I want to point out, and I know that some of you might be thinking, you know, what's this issue have to do with small business? And as you know, that's what we do here. Well, here's why I wanted to talk about it with Judge Huss. Every day, small business owners are jurors in this country. Every day, small business owners are plaintiffs in courtrooms. Every day, sometimes, they're even defendants. And I want you to feel as I know you do. I want to feel myself that when I go in these courtrooms, that I'm going to be safe, that I'm not going to be in danger. And you might say, well, you know, if I'm in court, it's probably a civil case. Well, not if you're a juror. You could be a juror in a capital case, or you could be in there. You could be going to the, you know, judge. They could be going to the small claims court down the hall from where the capital court case is being heard, and the guy gets loose and kills you on the way out of down the hall.
Exactly. I know. I was about 50 feet away from a murder in the courthouse when I was a sitting judge. It was one of those situations where an enraged husband shot his wife, and I was almost knocked over by a deputy who was coming down the escalator the wrong way to get there.
Right.
So I was that close, so I've experienced the sound of gunfire and the screams of somebody who's been killed. So it really is an unnerving experience. And it's so close that it could happen to anybody.
Well, I want to go back to this issue, and this is the question I want to ask you. I'm upset at the Sheriff's Department. I think they're the people who are responsible, and I may be wrong about this, but whoever is responsible for the policy, for the execution of transferring this prisoner from wherever he was, detained to the courtroom, whoever was responsible for that decision, And they made somehow the decision was made to let this person half the size and certainly half the strength of this prisoner be armed alone with this prisoner. In my opinion, whoever's in charge of the department and whoever's in charge of that decision should be held accountable legally. I'm talking about criminal negligence, whatever. I don't know what the charge would be, but in my opinion, Judge Huss, somebody should pay a price for what happened.
Well, I don't know the facts, and I'm certainly not going to give an opinion or make a decision based on what I read in the newspapers, because I don't know the facts in this case. What the facts that I do know don't look good, but we just don't know the facts.
Let's assume that somebody absolutely could have made a decision. They just should have done that. My point is, if that's the case, let me ask you a technical question. Is it possible to charge somebody in authority with a charge like I'm talking about?
Well,
not whether they should, but is it possible?
Well, I think it's possible. The district attorney in that Atlanta jurisdiction, that county, would have to look at the case, and certainly the local law enforcement agency would look into it.
Right.
From that point of view.
Well, I'm still upset about that, and I haven't heard anybody ask that question yet on any of the interviews that I've heard, and I think somebody ought to ask that besides me. Stand by, Judge Huss. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to completely shift subjects and move to Florida. Right after these messages, it's 10 Till. Stay with us. You ain't had enough to eat. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Judge William Huss. He and his wife, Dr. Marlene Coleman, have written a book called Working with Your Homeowners Association, A Guide to Effective Community Living. More and more of us are living in these communities that have homeowners associations. I encourage you to check out Dr. Coleman and Judge Huss's book. Judge, tell us where it's available, please.
It's available in all the bookstores, prominent bookstores, Barnes & Noble.
Online, too.
And online, and Amazon.com will give you a discount.
All right, check it out when you get a chance. Judge Huss, before we go to Florida, any last thoughts on the case in Atlanta?
Yes, well, the recourse may not be the criminal route. That's why we have civil actions for wrongful death. And I think, without doubt, that's going to be something that the authorities in Atlanta are going to have to face from the people who are survivors of these victims. And one thing we have to keep in mind, the court system is a vital part of our governmental structure,
right.
And there are guns there, and there's a reason for it. In Los Angeles, for example, the deputies have been taken out of the civil courts, but they haven't been taken out of the domestic family law courts or the criminal courts.
Are they armed?
No.
They're not armed.
They're called court attendants. And but generally speaking, around the country, deputies are in the courtrooms with guns,
mm-hmm.
even in civil cases, and that should send a signal to people
right.
that although we have justice and we try to be fair and all of that, armed force is behind what the judges do.
Right. Yep. That's a truth that we all have to live with. Let's move on down and talk to. And by the way, my last thought, folks, is I'm not going to be happy until somebody proves to me that there's not a criminal negligence issue here and that somebody should be charged. Now, Judge is not going to say that, but I am. Let's move on down to Florida, Judge Huss.
Yes.
A young lady down there, Shivo, I think is her name, has been on, she's been in a vegetative state for a number of years. You know about the case where the husband is trying to get the feeding and the water removed, and the family wants to keep keep her hydrated, keep her nourished. We've all seen the pictures of this sad situation. Apparently today, the feeding tubes are supposed to be removed. And I think it seems that the family appealed to the Supreme Court, who I guess didn't want to hear it. And now, incredibly, Judge Huss, Congress has actually issued a subpoena on this one issue. That's unprecedented, isn't it?
Well, I've never heard of it before. I think it is unusual. I think I don't know the details about why the subpoena has been issued or what they're doing, but my guess is that Congress is contemplating some kind of federal legislation to govern this situation where people are in a vegetative state, and it's a decision to be made whether they should live or die, and that's what they're doing. This whole thing is an investigation to determine whether or not they should have federal legislation, and if so, what kind. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I can understand Congress wanting to study this kind of an issue, but with the subpoena being issued so quickly in the middle of all their other business, it just seems like an interesting turn of events to me, and an unprecedented one.
Yes, it is, and I'd be very interested to know which committee in Congress is issuing the subpoena or subcommittee, and for what purpose.
Well, and also, regardless of which side of the issue you come down on, folks, which side that you align with, I think we all should tell Congress, tread lightly and tread slowly. This is not a precedent that you want to start.
Well, it's certainly a local issue or a state issue, whether or not someone should live or die, unless there's a federal issue involved. And I don't see it in this case.
No.
It's a local Florida issue, and I think that's where it should stay. And I don't know why Congress is doing this except just to gather information.
Well, the of course, the issue, Senator Frist said this is an issue, and I'm paraphrasing, but this based on the sanctity of life. We should all come down on the side of life whenever possible. And I'm not going to take issue with that one way or the other. It's just that it concerns me when the federal government takes these kinds of steps. And folks, I wanted Judge Huss to talk to us about that a little bit, because this is something I hope you'll follow in the next few days. It could be record-setting, precedent-setting issues that will affect us for a long time. Judge Huss, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim. I really, really enjoy being on your show.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. We'll look forward to seeing you again real soon. And tell Dr. Coleman we said hello.
I certainly will.
The book is called Working with Your Homeowners Association, folks. I hope you'll check it out. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.